Today is Tuesday, February 6th, start of a new month. And we're here with another episode of the news. Do you have news for us, Wendell?
Late breaking news. I'm going to try not to say I don't know, even though I don't know. And I like admitting that I don't know. I'm going to try not to say the phrase, I don't know.
Which you've just done three times. But really, I mean, what about that ludicrous display on Sunday night?
Oh, sports.
The part where the difference, what really excited me was the difference between the goal units acquired by Team A and the goal units acquired by Team B during the last time interval.
That was incredible, seeing those goals. Mm.
It snuck up on me this year because I always thought it was in March.
That's March Madness.
In truth, we record this on Sunday afternoon, so
we don't know who won.
And, you know, we won't be watching it. Well, actually, you know, because we're such alpha males and female, we'll be streaming on Twitch. And tonight, Krista chose the game, so we'll be streaming a Japanese dating sim instead of watching the Super Bowl.
Doki Doki Literature Club, because we don't know what else to play anymore.
Now, before we get to the tech news, we have some very important bulletins that we need to get to. Krista,
I believe. I went to the animal shelter yesterday, and I think I'm going to get a dog. And he's the best dog. He's short hair. He's medium-sized. He's very relaxed. He doesn't bark, and he likes to take walks.
Huge mistake, because cats are the superior animal, but, you know, you can't tell some people how to live. So,
he's so cute.
On with the news.
It's going to be okay. First story.
Oh, it's another week of follow-ups. Follow-up heavy news. So this is a follow-up on the swatting incident that occurred in Wichita, Kansas. If you don't know or haven't been following, there was a gamer who was in a quarrel with another gamer and phoned in the Wichita police and sent the police to what he thought was his rival gamer's house, but it turns out it was just some innocent bystander.
Yikes.
So the lawsuit has to do nothing with the swatting of the gaming or anything. This is against the police. And so, of course, they shot the man. He had no weapon, and they really didn't have a reason to shoot him. The key things in this lawsuit are that the house in question looks nothing like the house that was described in the phone call. And the phone call was not a 911 call. Because, of course, if you call 911, you get your local 911. So this person had to call the police station directly to fake the swatting call. And they didn't vet any of that, so there's going to be a lawsuit.
Now, the lawsuit also mentions that this was the 15th deadly shooting in 2017?
In Wichita.
Kansas. In Wichita.
So, yeah, that's 11 times greater.
Seems a little excessive, yeah.
So, yeah.
It's like, I would like for the police to investigate something. Oh, this house doesn't match the description. Shoot anything that moves. Yeah, I mean, that does seem a little...
That doesn't seem quite right, sir.
I know I was reading about some stuff about this, and it really has the police training in recent years. I think it's been quite a while now, maybe 10 years. They switched from the old, like, you know, protect the people training to make it home at the end of the shift as, like, the primary goal of every police
Metro.
Training.
That's, like, yeah. What our goal is at the end of the day. Go home. And we don't do anything nearly as life-threatening.
I agree that this was, you know, ridiculous, and this man should not have died. But on the other hand, I've been watching the Police Activity YouTube channel, and there's a lot of guys on there who just start shooting when they get pulled over. So you can give them some leeway, I guess. But hey, you sign up to be a cop, getting shot's part of it.
Just, you know, along with the community respect and the cop car, just expect to get shot.
Pension.
The emergency worker behind the false missile alert, this is in Hawaii, to file a lawsuit against the state. So a lot of people have resigned or are on leave or whatever, but the actual worker who clicked the stuff has been let go. But it's come out. This article is fascinating. It's like, you know, what
it's
more
so
is
weird.
There? The user, like from a computer software standpoint, the user experience of this software looks really terrible because the alert things are adjacent to each other and all that kind of stuff. But that's not even what this article is about. The worker has come out and said, look, we got a call in our office from somebody that was his supervisor or something pretending to be like the North Pacific Missile Command. And they were like, this is not a drill. there's a missile coming. And he's like, well, that's my training says I need to do this. So I did what my training said to do.
And he is literally the guy. Like, it could be life and death. Minute, you know, him waiting that minute to confirm it could have been the minute you needed to get into some kind of shelter or something. So he's claiming. The other thing he's mad about is they put a picture of him from behind on the news.
And people figured out who he was.
Yeah, they didn't release his name, but they said it was a male. They showed him from the back, and they said he'd been working there for 10 years. So people immediately figured out who that was.
That's his metadata.
Yeah. And he's been getting death threats and kind of ruining his life. So yeah.
Why are people giving him death threats, though? That's what I didn't get.
Maybe they, like, you know, called up some people and told them what they thought about him right before they thought they were all going to die.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've read some horrifying stories on 4chan, but...
But I can... who knows? Who knows lying? Who's lying here? But... I can definitely see the state scapegoating one guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, so he, but they claim they've got, the state can't be sued for defamation. They got some kind of immunity.
Well, they claimed that they didn't talk about pending legal issues with the press. So
I don't like his chances.
Yeah. I don't like his chances either, but the software, the screenshots of the software look awful.
Why? Yeah. Every step of the process seemed flawed.
Yeah.
I don't think this was human error too. If this guy's, definitely, if what he's saying is true, it's not human error. But even if what he's saying isn't true, this seems inevitable.
Yeah.
That someone would eventually mess it up. Yeah.
I mean, how else are you going to do a drill that's like a walkthrough drill unless you have like a, you know, late stage cancel button where the guy that's pressing the button can press the button, but the button he's pressing doesn't actually do anything. It seems like that's what you would need for this kind of a drill.
Well, I wonder how long after he pressed the button did he know it wasn't real? I don't think that was covered.
Did he go home that night? It was on the local news, and he's like, oh, shit.
Wait, that was me.
You think they'll go to one of those little glass-encased flip-up switches for the live fire one?
Well, there's going to be two right next to each other. One's like, weather alert, high fog alert, and then...
It's nuclear launch detected, and time for lunch. We'll be right next to each other.
You never know.
15 years from now, we discover that a rogue element within our own government actually managed to launch a nuclear missile off of one of our own subs aimed at Hawaii, and some other people found him out and took out the missile before it hit Hawaii, and that's what actually happened here. But it's just this elaborate cover-up.
It was aliens.
That's some high-level paranoid thinking.
It started on that transcript.
It wouldn't be the first time that that's happened. Anybody just look up the D.B. Cooper story. It's a lot of fun. It goes all the way back to the 70s. I can't believe Musk made $10 million selling flamethrowers. My goodness. $10 million selling flamethrowers.
Well, the Tesla fanboys, we often are critical of Musk. I don't think we're overly so.
No.
Just, you know, reality check. And we get a lot of comments. It's like, you guys aren't being fair to Elon. He's great.
Like, maybe they call him by his first name like they know him personally, which is a little weird.
Now, what I think is going to happen, of course, we talked about this last week. And these quote-unquote flamethrowers, we had a debate on the Twitch stream. So is it a flamethrower if it doesn't actually have the extra additive that makes it, you know, like actually stick to stuff and actually throw the flame? Because this is just propane. It's just like a clean burning flame.
This is just for burning weeds.
Here's what I think is going to happen. These are going to ship. Something horrible is going to happen with one of them. Somebody's going to get third degree burns and it's going to be a terrible PR nightmare. And then we're going to get laws restricting people from using those perfectly normal weed burning flame devices.
Perfectly normal, perfectly safe. Don't worry about those.
This is why dumb people are why we can't have nice things.
As we all stare at the Tide Pods in the glass, thinking about how delicious they'd be.
Some people hadn't noticed those until you said something, and so now it's like, oh, wow.
There were quite a few comments on the last one. I think they noticed.
Some people noticed, but not everybody. Well, YouTube has warned of consequences for creators who misbehave in the wake of the Logan Paul controversy. For those of you that are not in the know, this guy has a much larger channel than ours. A lot of teenage followers, and he went to the Japanese suicide forest where people go to commit suicide because that's a thing in Japan. And they found a dead body, and so they were, you know, having a good laugh about it. And some people found that insensitive.
As you do when you find a corpse.
Yeah. I mean,
well, and he took a picture of himself. Like the thumbnail showed the body, and it's like him in a stupid hat going in front of it. It's very bizarre.
And then it's all, was that wrong? Should I not have done that? And it's just, it's like you wonder how someone.
We came to this.
Yeah, it's like how did we get here? Like this is the thing where the alien race comes to the planet and they're like, let's just cleanse the planet. It's probably all right.
Well, YouTube's also wanting to cleanse the planet.
That's where they come to the planet and they're like, oh, we have that game too. But see, you're probably thinking, well, why are you just, you know, going on and on about this nonsense and not telling us what those consequences are? Because YouTube didn't say what they are. It's just like a mob threat, you know?
Sure, a mob threat.
Sure would be a shame if something happened to your channel.
Meanwhile, you know, very... shall we call it milquetoast content is demonetized regularly by the algorithm, so who knows. This was number 4 on trending before, you know, the algorithm was like, oh wow, people are really into watching the suicide thing, so it was on trending. So
yeah,
sort of problematic when the algorithm encourages people to come up with false reality as opposed to real reality, because,
well, it ain't about what the people want, it's about what the advertisers want, which, yeah. It's a dark reality, but it's the one we live in.
Sensationalist,
but it's ours.
Sensationalist content is better than actual real content. Level one in a nutshell.
Speaking of that, during the Super Bowl, how about that marketing propaganda? Am I right?
Oh, such a good one. Such a good commercial.
Such unbelievable YouTube ads this year.
I was so convinced to buy goods and or services I don't need.
Who's the halftime performer? Legit, like, do we know?
Couldn't tell you.
Man, that wardrobe malfunctioned.
And just like that, we stumble off a cliff.
No, demonetized.
Maybe Equifax had let's assume in our reality that Equifax had some sort of amazing commercial for their new lock and alert application. So I read this, and the accusation in the article was, it doesn't seem like this works. And the edit follow-up was, yeah, we can't get it to work.
Well, there was another publication. This is Ars Technica. There was another publication, might have been Wall Street Journal. And so these guys read that one, and that one was like, we can't get it to work. And they were like, we're a tech company. We'll test it. They couldn't get it to work either. And they even did the tech support stuff. And you have to give it a bunch of
personal
details. Because obviously it hasn't, you know, like, you can't just lock somebody else's to credit.
Enough that Equifax would never lose that.
Right. And
that's what made me nervous.
They could never get it to actually do anything. This also is not locking your credit. This is locking your Equifax credit score, which might not even matter.
No, it's... It's lock is a term that is not defined. It's not freezing your credit.
Right. Yeah.
So,
but it's also just your Equifax credit score, yeah. Not the Experian and what's the other one?
TransUnion.
So was this? They said they were going to have this. I guess it was early 2018. So this is sort of within their time frame, but. If it doesn't work,
I think the FTC, I mean, I really don't, government involvement and all that kind of stuff, but this is really misleading. Like, this doesn't do anything for you. You have to freeze your credit. This is the level one PSA. Just go ahead and freeze your credit.
We should make that more specific. It doesn't do anything. But if it did something, it wouldn't do anything useful.
But definitely give it your social security number. Definitely do that.
Just go ahead and post it on 4chan right now. It's fine. It'll be fine. Of course, no evidence that Twitter can be blamed for deaths in the Islamic State attack. So there's a lawsuit against Twitter, and because the Islamic State ISIS had Twitter accounts they were using for distributing propaganda and people could, you know, follow them and whatever, some people have sued Twitter saying that all these ISIS-related terrorist events happened because they use Twitter as a communication platform. Therefore, Twitter is culpable under American law, which, you know, we have had a lot of really broad, really ambiguous language laws passed in a few years, and I'm kind of surprised that this didn't fly.
Yeah, this is worse than the sue the gun manufacturer when someone shoots someone. This is a step further than that insanity. And it's, like you say, of course, common sense. Of course you don't sue Twitter because terrorists... But it wouldn't be shocking if they'd ruled the other way. So yeah. This is definitely good news.
I'm shocked that we have good news instead of bad news. That's your good story for the week.
Which is barely a good story. Yeah. It's like, you know.
Common sense.
It's not something good that happened. It's something bad that didn't happen. That's what we're relegated to in terms of good news.
Well, I've got some more good news for you. Are you a 30-something or older and use Tinder?
In California?
Well, good news. They're not going to be able to charge you more.
ASL?
It's like, see, the problem here is that older people, it's not really, it's like, so California has said that's ageism. You can't you can't do that. You can't charge older people more. That's not allowed.
For the same service.
For the same service, yeah. But, you know, it's not really the age. It's just the demographic. It's like, it turns out older people are less promiscuous, and in a smaller audience, well, this is just how it worked out.
Well,
and you can find friends on Tinder, though.
They have more money, I think, is what Tinder was basing it on. They were, it was the old what the market can endure pricing. You know, and so if you're young and foolish and, you know, banging everything on Tinder, maybe you don't manage your money all that great. You know? Hilariously, I'm sure these judges were just chuckling the whole day about that. In the ruling, they said they swiped left on this.
Oh, yeah. My mind's going some real dark places with this. I'm just going to let it go. So a UK judge has ruled that the UK snooper's charter is illegal. And this is a really interesting article because it says that the law doesn't go far enough to protect identities and things like that. Snooper's charter in the UK is really super disturbing. I'm surprised we don't already have something like that here in America.
Well, that we know of.
The thing that I have a problem with this, though, is that this ruling I don't think there's any way the snooper's charter can be legit. And this ruling, I think, legitimizes snooper's charter in a way that it's like, oh, this is fixable. We can totally fix this. As opposed to, let's set on fire this horrible piece of draconian legislation that should never have been in the first place.
Yeah. And fixing is, that's not how you would describe this. So what they're saying is, we're going to keep doing all this, but we're going to add some safeguards so that other people can't steal it. We're going to steal your data. We're going to make damn sure nobody steals it from us.
Good news. We've contracted Equifax to manage your privacy in the UK.
Just give us your social security number, and we're not going to tell you what we do with it. But don't worry. It's fine.
So, yeah, you got to wonder if maybe this wasn't like the long con. It's like, you know what? We'll pass this. But then there'll be a headline that says the courts like fought it, and everybody's going to feel good about it. But it's not going to change anything.
Yeah, this ruling literally changes nothing. And it's just so... Oh, I said I don't know.
No. Never mind. You've said it three times.
I've said it three times? Yeah. Oh, no. In that context, it means I don't know about the future of humanity. So
you just did it again.
Well, that one shouldn't count because that one...
They all count.
All right, fine. Whatever. California, the state Senate has defied the FCC and approved a new net neutrality law. So the FCC has come out and said, we don't want anything at the federal level, and... By the way, we're also going to take away states' rights because we don't want anything at the federal level because states' rights, but states aren't allowed to do this either. So seems a little bit duplicitous, but okay.
Now, Montana and New York, we talked about last week, got around this by saying, okay, fine, we won't make any laws, but if you do business with the government in any context whatsoever, you have to be net neutral. And you have to extend those same courtesies to all of our citizens. So it's kind of a workaround. California has not done that. California is just like, hey, bro, up yours. Net neutrality.
It's going to go to the Supreme Court. It's going to be amazing.
California giving them the double finger right now.
Yeah.
And they're just walking away backwards.
What are you going to do about it?
Now, I tried to find a copy of the bill. I was not able to find to read the language. But what I'm curious about is, does T-Mobile's binge on... throttling program run afoul of this? There is some language in the bill that says that reasonable network management, you know, throttling and doing all this kind of stuff for reasonable network management is totally okay, but no blocking, throttling, or paid prioritization otherwise. So last week we reported that GPS data from people's fitness trackers had been leaked on the internet, and people were using that to figure out where all sorts of secret military bases were and all that other kind of stuff. The Pentagon wants in on the action. They're going to review the GPS policies after their data has been exposed.
Yeah, it started out with a guy who was looking at Syria. More details have come out about this. And then he was like, hey, that's weird. There should be nothing but desert here. And then people were like, oh, let's look at all the black sites. And they immediately found them. So, you know, like missile launch places, stuff like that. Pretty bad. So I think... Fitbits and other trackers will probably be confiscated at the gates of military facilities.
How will I know how many steps I walked? Well, are you telling me I have to get a regular pedometer?
I depend on my iWatch to telling me I'm having a heart attack.
Oh, I wonder if the Strava program, can the iWatch interface with that as well?
I don't know. Probably not. Maybe. I kind of doubt it because Apple. I predict that next week's news will have stories about people's iWatches saying that they're having a heart attack because of that ludicrous display. Because that happened once already, and it was just, I don't know if we even reported on it, because it was pretty much a nothing burger. But the I think the message from the iWatch was like, my accelerometer says you're not really moving around much, but your heart rate is like 150, so you might be having a heart attack.
Well, listen, you got 15 grand on the game? Maybe it is a heart attack.
Or you're just shoving food down your throat, and then you're watching your favorite game, and you just pass out.
You just ate 40 hot wings and lost $20,000?
I'd do it.
Maybe they should add that as a new notification. You know, it's like, this is not a heart attack. This is just poor choices.
It's just an anxiety attack.
The FCC's chairman has slammed Trump's team's proposal to nationalize 5G. Now, we did not report on the plan to nationalize 5G because there's really not a lot of details about it other than, hey, the government should build a 5G network.
And not let any of the wireless providers touch it. Because the idea... The reason Trump stated for doing this is national security. He believes that the companies can't be trusted, and you know, like the whole Kaspersky thing. He wants the government to run 5G.
Well, that kind of makes sense with the whole SoftBank thing, because doesn't SoftBank own a huge percentage of, was it T-Mobile?
Probably. I'm sure several of them are, you know, have Chinese presence in the shareholders.
Don't mean to cast any aspersions at SoftBank, but I mean... It kind of makes sense, I guess.
Well, not according to Mr. Pye.
He's not using his mug there. I don't believe that photo.
Yeah, so his responses here are really amazing. The one of the ones here, let's see if I can find this, is like a world leader in the market. Okay, so anybody who's ever traveled internationally, even to like Mexico, knows that America's wireless network is garbage. It's like the entire rest of the world, America, there's another gap, and then Australia. It's really bad here.
Well, what I like about this story is, you know, of course, much like the Super Bowl, American politics is divided right down the middle, and people are passionate about their side. So the Republicans are sort of anti-net neutrality by default because they think Pye is Team Trump. And this shows that Pye is not Team Trump. If you're a Trumper, doesn't mean you should just blindly support the FCC. Pye is Team ISP.
Team corporate.
Yeah, he is not about, you know, I mean, he'll take those political votes because he's got the majority. But it ain't about Trump. It's about those bags of money.
Yeah, so being an ex-lawyer for Verizon, he has a thing or two to say about nationalizing infrastructure because that would make the profits there go away.
Now, of course... I will say that nationalizing things almost always goes bad. I don't think the government would be competent to run the 5G network.
Yeah.
But the FCC is also bad, so it's
who do you hate more?
It's a terrible choice. I don't know. I don't know what to do here.
It's funny, though, because this exact argument, everything that is on the table here with this nationalizing 5G infrastructure played out in the 96 Telecommunications Act. Or in the events that led up to it and the events after it, because, I mean, they were working on it as far back as like 91, 92. And there was no talk about really nationalizing the infrastructure then, but there was talk about centralizing the infrastructure into local and regional companies that would manage the physical connections. That could still be done here. That could still be done here privately, and that would work completely fine. It did not work, and that was the proposal in the 96 Telecommunications Act. That did not actually materialize because companies like AT&T and Bell South and Quest and all those other people fought tooth and nail to avoid giving up their infrastructure. So I guess nationalization is the next logical choice, but I'm going to reserve supporting it one way or the other because both of this seems like complete insanity.
Yeah, I don't think Trump realizes what a project that would be.
Yeah.
Just like the wall.
Yeah. I don't know. But maybe we could hire some people from like Taiwan or China, because in terms of like mobile speed, now you're not going to get outside of China, but in terms of like mobile speed from China, you know, a Chinese server to your Chinese phone, it is ungodly fast. If you're in Europe, it's also not completely terrible.
So wait, so you're saying we nationalize the 5G network to keep control out of the hands of China, and we hire China to build it. Are we going to make them pay for it?
We consult with China to figure out how to do it. Then we train our own people to do it.
They are number one.
Maybe we can be like a low-cost call center for China, learn how it works, and then become a world power in 4G or 5G or whatever. I don't know. So Lenovo's...
What?
Oh, I did it again.
Five. You're keeping count at home.
If you're playing the drinking game, you probably just blacked out.
Depending on what you're drinking.
I'm doing better this episode. Maybe. Possibly. Although I've said a number of other things that are like the thing. So
the thing that he can't say.
Yeah. So Lenovo's fingerprint scanner can be bypassed via a hard-coded password. This is real bad because the fingerprint scanner... So the way these technologies work is they store your password. Like, they have to be able to reversibly decrypt a password, your actual real password to the infrastructure, so that when you swipe your finger, the system that you're connecting to doesn't know how to deal with your finger. So you swipe your finger, and it converts your fingerprint into a password that you typed in previously. But that means the software has to be able to decrypt your password. This is not really a problem that is ever really fixable unless you use technology like a secure enclave or a TPM chip or something like that. And Lenovo has implemented that badly, and it's super easy to get the password out.
Even other non-administrative users on the same system can run the program, use the hard-coded password, and see all of your passwords.
OPSEC 101. Come on, Lenovo.
Now, they've released a patch, and they've got a list of devices here that are affected. So if you got one of those, maybe time to update. Or just stop using the stupid fingerprint thing.
Guarantee you, if a security researcher keeps hammering on this, they're going to keep finding vulnerabilities. I guarantee it.
Yeah, that patch was probably on the level of the Spectre Meltdown patch from Intel.
We talked last week about jackpotting. The first jackpotting attacks have hit U.S. ATMs. So this is when you get malware installed on an ATM that causes it to dump all of its cash. Kind of like a slot machine at a Las Vegas casino.
Now, this is pretty difficult to do. It's not as simple as, like, you know, remember when for a while there, someone found out the Coke machine, the button presses to get a free soda and go into the developer mode? This is not like that. They actually have to compromise, get inside the system somehow. They use an endoscope to look around inside, put alligator clips on various pieces, and then run their own software.
An endoscope? Do you just order that off Amazon?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you can get, look at there, the smartphone versions of the endoscope.
Well, I know what I'm buying.
I bet those are actually probably pretty, like, what do you think that costs? Less than $100, I bet.
Yeah, it's pretty cheap.
I kind of want to open a tab and find out, but it's not, now's not the time.
Somebody in the comment can point us to the best quality smartphone
endoscope for our money.
But anyway, it is difficult to do, but of course the rewards are pretty high. So teams of jackpotters, now what they do, this is really organized. They put on outfits as if they were Diebold, I don't know how to pronounce it to you.
Diebold, I think.
Maintenance people, they go, they install their stuff, then they leave, and they send what they call cash mules to get the actual cash. So I guess that's like less of a crime. Then they go back and they take all their stuff back and nobody knows. Anybody else who arrives during that time just sees an out-of-order ATM.
Neat.
They're going to make a movie about that one day.
They are. It's going to be Ocean's 37.
Well, how much cash do you think is in the average ATM? Like 20 grand?
It would depend. I mean, I would think an ATM on like Fifth Avenue in New York probably has like 100,000 plus, but typical ATM probably like 20 to 50,000.
That's going to be a tough one to hit though.
Because of all the cameras and people.
You want low traffic ATMs. Because you're going to need like 5-10 minutes where nobody's there.
Yeah. I think any ATM that's built into the side of a bank, just as a matter of practice, they shouldn't keep much cash in. I mean, so what if the staff have to load cash in it 3-4 times a day?
But then you have to trust your staff.
Well, got to trust somebody.
They don't even know how to hand out dum-dums. That's what matters. I need that dum-dum when I go through. Blue raspberry for life. Comment your favorite flavor.
Have you got an iPhone 7 that's reporting no service? Good news, Apple is going to fix that for free because that's apparently a bug in the iPhone 7. Even if it's just out of warranty, they'll fix it because it was a design flaw.
I think all iPhone 7s are out of warranty at this point. Now, here's the catch, though. If your phone has any other problems, like a cracked screen or any other sort of physical defaults, you have to pay to have those fixed before they'll fix the no service bug. You can't just be like, no, bro, ignore that cracked screen. Just put, no, no, sorry. You must get a new screen.
Tesla, you know, this is not our first story about Tesla, but Tesla is expanding the sales of solar gear at Home Depot. So they're going to sell both power walls and solar panels through Home Depot, which is kind of exciting because this is what was deployed in Puerto Rico.
And eventually the solar roof.
Yes. The solar roof's going to be available later, though, right?
Oh, yeah, it's not going to. Well, I don't imagine they'll have an actual solar roof at the. It's going to be a 12 by 7 kiosk. So I don't think they'll have a solar. But, you know.
Order online now.
You could always order some of this stuff, I think. But now they're actually going to have a physical presence. You can go in. You can see how easy it is to, you know, play with it and set it up and stuff like that.
And so, I guess the battery production for that is. Now, we were talking about battery production problems for the cars. But the batteries for Australia's power grid and also Puerto Rico, they don't seem to be having any production problems there.
Is it the same cells in the power walls? I think they might be different.
It's probably the same ingredients, but probably arranged differently.
So, and they're also in talks with Lowe's. So if you don't have a Home Depot in your area, don't fret. You can maybe go to Lowe's and get the... Now, these are not going to be Home Depot and Lowe's employees. This is actually Tesla employees embedded in these stores.
So it's only going to be in like a handful of locations is what you're telling me?
Well, no, I think rural locations would probably be the ideal market for these kinds of things.
Can confirm the power grid in rural areas is trash. Amazon is patenting wristbands designed to steer employees' movements.
This was a weird article.
This story sounds amazing. It sounds so dystopian. We could base a plot of a novel on this.
Yeah, so I don't know if you've... A lot of people have seen the videos, but the Amazon picker, they call them pickers because their job is like they're just standing in front of a wall of like, boxes of stuff.
Like in Factorio, they literally pick things up and then put them in packages.
And the little thing comes up on their screen. It's like, this item is here. It goes in the box and they grab it. And so they're not moving fast enough for Amazon's. So they're
making mistakes.
They've decided they need these wristbands to correct them.
And it will, like, I guess it beeps or something if it's like, oh, you're too close to the wrong thing. Go it's over a, here and get the right thing.
I think it's a vibration. Yeah. I assume.
So I like to imagine shock collar.
But I assume there's going to be multiple motors in the wristband. And so the vibration is going to be like, no, not that direction, this direction.
Yes.
Yeah.
The some of the automated, like the partially automated Amazon warehouses will have like an entire robotic shelf. And the shelf comes to you and there's, you know, all these layers in the shelf with all the different products. And, you know, having received like an inventory scanner in a box from Amazon before... you know, that people are doing things wrong all the time. So like if the shelf is there and you reach for the wrong thing, the software is going to know and give you a little buzz. And so you could literally employ the dregs of society. And as long as they're listening to their, you know, I mean, it's going to be like, how long before we have like Amazon and, you know, U.S. Corrections Corporations like merge become like Amazon Corrections Corporation. And it's like these prisoners are loading and packing our stuff now. It's amazing. We built it's just, I don't know. Oh, there it is again. Oh.
So here's an idea. I've got a great idea on how to improve this, right? So you take home people who are on house arrest. So they drive to the Amazon and they're, you know, their ankle bracelet. Then you take your ankle bracelet off, put it on your wrist. And it doubles.
A lot of functionality in one wristband. When you go home at night, like, do you have that phantom like feeling? You dream about
I bet you do. Yeah. Now the other part of this, the sort of the dark. Well, if that's not dark enough for you, but the darkest part of this is, of course, they're constantly monitoring where your hands are and how they're moving, and they, of course, they're going to record that data.
Yeah.
So they're going to know. When you're not at your workstation, when you're doing something else, when you're wiping your ass, for example. Oh. So they're going to know everything about your...
Jim, what's this movement? We see you were making a wiping movement around 2:30 p.m.
There goes our monetization. Amazon is going to be able to track the most productive employees or least productive employees.
You think we'll get there'll be a case where it's like... The guy was like, no, I wasn't smoking meth. And I'm like, well, you left your Amazon wristbands on, and we know that your hands were like this.
I don't know.
And the thing was buzzing the whole time. That was a long one. That was I'm going to give that a 7.5.
Yeah.
That's 7.5 now.
Oh, man, those drinking game people are in the ER at this point.
Oh, and there's a siren in the background, which I don't know if the mics pick up, but that's one of our viewers right now.
eBay is dumping PayPal for a Dutch company. What was it? Ambi or something?
It was a weird...
Aiden.
Ambien.
No, it's not. It's Adyen.
Adyen.
Which
oh, it's just like Aiden.
Terrible name.
They're splitting. So PayPal, remember eBay acquired PayPal, and PayPal and eBay are splitting, in case you didn't know.
Well, I think they already sort of moved PayPal off to its own little thing.
Yeah.
But I don't think that PayPal knew.
They were legally separated.
That was in preparation for bringing down the hammer.
Well, I think PayPal in America has always been sort of the go-to, but PayPal outside of America has always just been a huge pain for everybody. I don't think anybody outside of America likes PayPal.
Well, these guys are the one. I think what they're going to go to is more of a paying directly through Amazon, but these guys are going to process it. So like credit card payments and stuff, and not Amazon, but eBay. And so this Adyen, they do Uber, and I think they do Lyft, and another one of the other big new companies. So they're like the hot new payment processor.
It's going to be interesting to see how that turns out. If people, I don't care about the companies. I'm really curious if people will mutiny, because a lot of the sellers don't really like PayPal, but a lot of the buyers do, at least in America and the places that tolerate PayPal. So,
well, they're going to keep it till 2020. It's still going to be a partner. And until 2023, you can still use it, I think.
They'll probably work out another deal in the interim. It's possible. You listen to streaming music online. Well, good news, or maybe not.
No, not good.
It's
going to
get passed on.
Songwriters score a win. Their commission is going to go from 10% to 15%. But it's not per listen, but I'm not sure how they calculate that. You get a royalty as a songwriter, but it's not per listen.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how that works, but that 5% is definitely going to go through, and you're going to pay more for your service.
Yeah, it's just going to get passed on to the consumer.
It's record setting in terms of the increase.
Yeah, I mean, that's 50% is pretty huge in terms of a contract negotiation, so... Good news for Taylor Swift, I guess.
Well, she's really struggling.
She needs it.
She needs that money.
Is she?
No.
No. That's the joke. Well, I mean, who knows? Maybe she had a big bet on the Super Bowl.
Who knows, Wendell?
The place...
who knows?
That was the thing.
That was entrapment.
That was. That's not fair. No, I thought you were, for a second, I thought you were, because I noticed that she had a new album recently and it tanked or something.
Did it? I think she's
I don't think it tanked. I think it was just a weird departure from her current style. Not that I listened to it.
I'm sure we'll get lots of engagement in the comments.
To tell us.
And then the question you have to ask yourself is, did he do that intentionally to get the corrections in the comments to raise the engagement to mess with the algorithm?
You know, if she does have any problems, I'm sure she'll just shake them off.
That was a lyric.
That's a whole song.
Union Heavyweight wants to ban UPS from using drones or driverless vehicles. So this is not a done deal. Basically, the Teamsters Union is in negotiations with UPS, and one of the items on the table is, hey, not only do we not want driverless trucks, we also want you to stop experimenting with drones to deliver packages.
Yeah, this is going to be – we're going to be seeing a lot of this because, of course – a company as big as UPS, they've got the unions that they have to deal with, and the unions don't want anything to do with robots. But of course, we talk about the Amazon story. That's sort of like, we're not getting rid of people. We're just going to turn them into robots. You know? And so, of course, when that plays out on a long enough timeline, those are just robots doing that. Because robots aren't good at selecting things from boxes right now, but they'll get that way. And I can't see how UPS can agree to this. I don't know what... I think they said the last negotiation was 2013, so you're looking at like a 3 to 4 year time span for this negotiation. You think they'll give it to them this time and then just prep the robots in the meantime?
Thinking about all these technologies, do you think in our lifetime we will see a scenario of events play out where it is Amazon lobbies to have people in a persistent vegetative state or that have no brain activity declared as non-people? And then Amazon invents the technology to install a shunt in their brainstem to control them. And then we have a, you know, cybernetic workforce from Amazon that doesn't actually have a human brain. Or maybe it does. Maybe you know.
You have locked-in syndrome.
Yeah, maybe.
And it's like, I just want to get out of this warehouse, but you can't. You're just
That's the Warhammer universe. Like the AI is illegal because they're afraid of it. So they use the servitors, which are just lobotomized people who have been made into robots.
Well, they're damn good pickers from what I understand. Dell says it's going to explore an initial public offering or merger with VMware. So Dell was a publicly traded company, and Michael Dell, the CEO, said, hey, I don't like the direction that the public and the publicly traded company part, the shareholders, are taking the company. So they did an unprecedented buyback of Dell stock to take it private. Dell acquired VMware, but they don't have like management control, like full management control of VMware. But it may be a situation where VMware can now acquire Dell through like a reverse merger. It seems like some sort of business gymnastics going on.
Well, here's the story. Dell has $56 billion in debt. VMware has $11 billion in cash. Dell wants to reduce that $56 billion, so a quote-unquote reverse merger is basically just a thing on paper.
Yeah.
And VMware becomes the owner company, but nothing really changes.
The thing that I don't...
What is it you don't, Wendell? Let us know.
The thing that I don't understand is how people did not see this coming. When Dell merged the EMC, EMC does storage. Storage was already on its way to becoming a commodity. The only thing that was the real differentiator there was software, not even really hardware. There wasn't really anything patentable on the hardware side because other companies came up with the software and the interconnects and all of the stuff at a low level. And so EMC had, I mean, it was basically just window dressing and some branding. I mean, that's the people that worked inside of EMC will be highly critical of that statement. But when you look at the technologies that are on the market, even open source technologies, even half-baked technologies like BTRFS, you have to know the writing's on the wall. So Dell's acquisition of EMC made absolutely zero sense at the time. You got to figure, like, if you were, one of Warren Buffett's companies, not a technology company, and you had $56 billion in debt, and if you were Dell and you had $56 billion in debt, and all of that debt was from buying computer hardware and selling machines and putting it together, the debt that you have doesn't correspond to any value inside your business. If you were another business and you spent $56 billion building a skyscraper or something else with tangible assets, that thing that you got from the debt is going to be valuable farther into the future than warehouses and warehouses full of obsolete crap. And so the $56 billion in debt is even worse than it sounds on paper because there's no tangible asset that goes with the $56 billion in debt. So yeah, this is probably like really bad for Dell.
I don't know.
We'll see.
8.5. You said it again. This has just become a mini game for me.
Microsoft is now selling the Surface laptop with a Core M3 processor. Speaking of things you shouldn't buy, this thing is a piece of crap. Don't even bother. 128 gigs of storage and 4 gigs of RAM.
That does have the sexy new processor. You know, hey.
The Core M3? Is that sexy?
Well, it's the new line. It's, yeah. But yeah, 4 gigs of RAM for 800 and the low storage. Really, we talked about actually just pulling this article because it was like, oh, here's an exciting new offering. Not really.
No.
Don't buy it.
Don't get me wrong. The Surface stuff, it's really awesome to see Microsoft doing that, but they are now stagnating because they're not innovating. The lack of Thunderbolt ports is chief among my complaints about that platform.
A little pricey, too.
Yeah.
I mean, for what you're getting here, they're turning into Apple in a lot of ways, and they shouldn't be doing that.
We predicted this a couple of weeks ago, but it's official now. Samsung has overtaken Intel's chip-making crown in terms of revenue.
Yeah, all those mobile chips and, of course, the memory chips, all the stuff that Intel's now getting back into but is, gave up for a while, is crushing the poor little Intel.
Intel's just going through a rough year, isn't
it? Yeah.
Are you in the unfortunate positions to have to use Microsoft Office applications? Well, Office 2019 is only going to work on Windows 10 unless you go through Office 365. I was reading into this, and it says to push businesses that are holding off on Office 365 to the Office 365 subscription. So does this mean that the standalone software doesn't work on Windows 8 or 10, but the Office 365 version does? Because that doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
That's exactly what that means. Zero sense. Then they can sell it.
So if you want to actually own the software, buy it, and that you must upgrade to Windows 10.
Or use LibreOffice.
Yeah.
Get that free stuff.
It's good enough.
Really. If you're the kind of Office power user that you need those features that aren't existent in it, then by all means, upgrade to Windows 10 because you need it. You must get it now. But other than that,
we should have put the Windows 10 S story right after this. But for now, we can talk about Apple removing Telegram. Telegram is a really awesome end-to-end encryption application. And you apparently could get to inappropriate content from inside the application for a brief time, whatever content that was.
They didn't say what it was in the article. I was disappointed.
Yeah, it's been pulled, so Telegram is back now. But again, this is just your friendly reminder that Apple controls its ecosystem, sometimes ruthlessly.
And no indication of what the violation was. So if you're an app maker and you're like, oh, I should stay away from that, they're not even going to tell you what the crime was.
Just inappropriate.
It's just arbitrarily going to go away.
Got another story about hotel robots. So this is proliferation of hotel robots for doing things like deliveries. This is not actually a hotel robot. This is a hospitality robot. Just want to be clear about that. They used the wrong stock photography.
But they mentioned that they have some of those. Like, so they talked about
five or six
different hotels that are fairly major hotel chains. They're using these little guys for mostly room delivery. So if you call the front desk and you're like, hey, can we get some bottled water?
Or some Tide Pods.
Nice appetizer.
That's going to be toothpaste. It's going to be really suspicious if you get Tide Pods delivered to your room and there's no washing machine. But anyway, this little guy is room service, delivering things. It's going to be a robot in a lot of places that you go, which is it's amazing.
But you missed the best part. The name of the robot is the Butler. Like Butler, but robot.
Pretty sure I saw that in Futurama.
They also mentioned, like you said, some of them are just in the lobby. And if you're like, hey, I don't remember where my room is, the robot will actually show you. Some of them will deliver your luggage through the service elevator, so you don't have to lug them up the regular elevator. Yeah, that's...
I will confess, the last time I went to Vegas in the airport, they had some of the robotic luggage that would follow you around. You had like a wristband that you put on, and then the luggage was motorized and would just follow you. And only about half the space inside the luggage was used by the mechanics and the battery and stuff. So that was pretty impressive.
Was it did it navigate well?
It did. It actually
didn't run into people, because people are always like rushing all over airports.
It had a lot of trouble with the moving sidewalk, but it was good at avoiding people because it had sensors. And it was good at avoiding stairs. So, like, if you would go down the stairs, it would just stop and wait for you to pick it up and carry it.
Well, you can imagine these guys know exactly what the layout of the hotel is.
Yeah.
So, I'm sure there'll be no problem with them. And if the hallway is crowded, they probably just move to the side and chill out and wait till everybody moves on.
We're also starting to see a lot of robotic, like, probably commercially viable, at least from the outside. It's moving from just concept artwork and other shenanigans like concept artwork where they haven't spent the money to figure out the details into actual real, maybe this could actually work. And so this is a delivery. Oh, where's the picture? There it is. It's 3.5 feet wide, but otherwise it's about the size of a small SUV. It's got 4 compartments and is totally self-driving. And the windshield is there only to stop it freaking out other drivers.
So this thing is designed for deliveries to your home, basically. Like you talk about the porch pirates and, you know, packages getting left someplace and that's kind of problem. You would actually come out because, of course, there's no human here. You would interface with this van. You'd come out.
Does it just spit it out? Like, that's what
No. It unlocks the compartment, and there's 4 compartments.
Yeah, you would somehow prove to it that you're
who you are,
the proper recipient, and then it would allow you access to the compartment. Now, the problem, I don't know if it's a problem. They tout it as a feature, not a bug. This thing is super slow. I think it's like 35 miles an hour.
Yeah, because it can't get on the interstate.
Right. So it's slow, but it is thin and slow, which means that it can avoid things without merging into other traffic and causing pileups, things like that.
So that might be kind of neat.
They talk about even like Craigslist, like maybe you could just rent one of the pods in this thing. So you sell something on Craigslist, this thing comes to your house, you load it up, you send it to the destination, you're done. You don't have to let serial killers into your home.
Anymore.
I guess if you exchanged money electronically, otherwise that would be really annoying. It's like you each, you know, get one of these delivery robots at your house, and then it's like some kind of a standoff where it's like, did you put the money in the thing? And it's like, yes. Did you put the item in the thing? It's like, I'm not seeing it in the app. And it's like, well, I'm not seeing yours in the app either.
Now, here's the question. So you would assume if you're going to use this for a Craigslist delivery, it's got to be fairly cheap, right? So how long will it take before somebody tries to use this as a taxi?
Just put your kid in there. Go to your dad's house.
Just crawl in there. Yeah.
How long before somebody rolls up in a Ford F-150 and just chucks it into the back and drives off with it?
Or a tow truck.
Yeah.
Sir, put me down. That's like a voice module.
I imagine it is packed with cameras. So.
I'm being attacked.
Please, sir, don't kill me. I'll give you my packages.
Look how cute it is. It would have a voice like that.
It releases the gas compartment.
Again, Amazon lobbies to change the law to make gassing a robot attacker okay.
Unidentified cargo releasing gas.
That is a cool thing. They've also talked about now, the one thing that excites me about this, they talk about how, you know how you have the grocery services where you pay online,
yeah,
and you just park in the spot and they load your groceries, that you could use this for that. So
then you wouldn't even have to go to the
grocery
store.
Buy groceries online, and then some point this guy just shows up at your house with them.
Yeah, they talked about how there's an optional refrigeration module for this. Yeah. So, and also dry cleaners could hang clothes in it. So they've thought about that and they've made it modular. So good job, guys.
But with the dry cleaner one, like only having 4 deliveries before you have to come back, that seems a little...
Yeah, that's what I was confused about, like how they... It doesn't seem as efficient as it could be, but...
If it was New York, I could see that that would probably still work. But if it was like a more rural area, that'd be a little bit more problematic because you'd have to have a whole fleet of those things doing deliveries for it to be cost effective.
I'm imagining around here, and that would just be absurd.
Now, they do mention that it is fully electric, too. So it could just, you know, you could have a fleet and they could be charging and rolling. And you got to think, if you get rid of a delivery driver, what is that, like $20,000 a year? Something like that.
It occurs to me, what is the profit margin of a dry cleaner that they could afford one of these things?
Well, that's probably volume. That's why I'm saying 4 deliveries per doesn't seem like that would.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just your like real big customers.
Or it's like the suit jacket went missing. One of the previous customers took it, and then you spend all day like trying to track it down.
Yeah.
U.S. regulators have subpoenaed the crypto exchange BitPhoenix and Tether. Because they want to know all about the transaction volume, how much money they have, all kinds of things. Because this is clearly something that needs regulation.
Yeah, they use these tokens that aren't cryptocurrencies themselves, but are tied to cryptocurrencies. And so, under the law, they should have audits. And they should, so that they claim that, I don't know, the tethers? I don't know what you call those things. Whatever they are, they claim they're backed by dollars. And they, so like a bank, if a bank says, you know, we have this much money, they have to hold a certain portion of that money in reserve. And so that's what the government is worried these guys aren't doing.
There's no oversight or regulation, so it's going to be. Yeah. So next week's headline is going to be, these businesses have shut down after federal pressure.
And all the tethers have gone missing. And crypto went down another $5,000.
You know what else is exciting? Now, a couple of weeks ago, we reported on twice the size of Tsar Bomba, which could be launched from the ocean, and there was no defense against that. Well, good news. The Navy actually may have a defense against that. This is a naval drone ship that may be useful for hunting submarines that would launch just such a missile.
Now, right now, so DARPA has been working on this. They have turned it over to the Navy. So it's not in use right now, but it could be at any time they decide that it's okay. The thing about it is it doesn't have any weapons on it. Right now, it's just got surveillance.
For the best, it's unmanned.
Yeah, no AI weapons. Now, they've said that if they ever do put weapons on these guys, there will be at least one human on board to authorize the use of the weapons.
That would be so
sad. About that job.
Out to sea by yourself for months.
With the AI ship, and your only job is to push the button to say, yes, launch the missiles at the subs.
Private pile, you've messed up for the last time. Get on the ship.
How much would you get paid for that, though? It might be kind of like a vacation, depending on how long you're deployed.
You'd get paid whatever your naval rank is. I mean, that's sad, because it doesn't matter. Now, one thing they talk about here, which is interesting, is they're saying that the current naval loadout is like, hey, we put out an aircraft carrier. What if something bad happens to that? That's a lot of money. But these little guys are super affordable at $20 million apiece.
Super affordable. Yeah. Let's get 5.
So they're talking about sort of transitioning the Navy into fleets of these little ships going around, automated, rather than the big, vulnerable, single pieces of machinery packed with humans.
Well, if we had an army of these, like a flotilla around the East Coast, that might be a good early warning system for, you know, the sub-launched intercontinental ballistic missile, whatever.
And if you're doing submarine warfare, they take down one or two of these at a time, and then you got to reload the tubes. Meanwhile, all of these could be returning fire.
Yeah. That would be neat. Good technology. My reading between the lines here is that the DARPA, whoever, decided that it was probably a lost cause, and it's like, this is our last best hope for peace or something, Battlestar Galactica-ish. It's like, we need to augment it. We need to do stuff with it.
How does it handle storms?
Probably not at all.
The article. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, it's small, so it probably, because there's no humans on board, it's probably pretty well, like, you know, almost submersible itself.
It doesn't matter, I guess. Yeah, don't worry.
The U.S. government just gave somebody a $120 million robotic arm to use. At least that is the headline on Quartz. But you read into it, and it's like, this is a next-gen sort of prototype prosthetic limb. This isn't even a picture of it, but it looks pretty close to that. It's a brain-controlled prosthetic arm, and the guy's really good at using it.
Yeah, this was a cancer patient who lost his arm. And so I don't know how they picked him, but he gets to keep it for a year. He's going to be the guinea pig to see if it makes sense to start rolling these out for other patients. They've encouraged him to wear the arm as much as humanly possible. He's not allowed to drive in it. That's the one caveat.
Can't rely on the technology that
much. He just has the one arm. No, he's got the other real arm he can.
Yeah, but the worry is, like, this arm's on the wheel and it freaks out, you know?
He grabs his face or something. Not like this.
It literally is Dr. Strangelove, except with robotic arms. Okay, I mean, I guess I could totally see that. The demonstration video, though, you should totally watch the demonstration video, because just with, like, it looks like there's just little pads that sort of just clamp to his, like, what's left of his arm. And that's enough of a neural interface. And he can individually control his fingers as well as the elbow and wrist, which is mind-blowing that they're able to do that by just him thinking about it. And so part of the reason they said that they gave him the arm was he's gotten better than anybody else at being able to control a prosthetic like that with a neural interface.
The real question is he esports ready?
You know where I see a bright future for this guy? Amazon warehouse. Think about it. He doesn't even need a wristband. He could just, like, take a nap and stand there while the arm just does all the work.
I wonder if somebody could record his neural impulses and then shunt it into one of those brainless people, like the brainstem.
And
then the servitors, and just have them walking around, you know, doing the stuff. I mean,
I'm sure that's being recorded. Now, I bet that is part of this whole system, is, like, they probably have a pretty good idea of what he's doing at all times with that arm, right?
Yeah, yeah. I do know just the people to have to work on this, but we have to save that for the nonsense section of the news. For now, you know, Bitcoin has been down quite a bit, and all of a sudden, JP Morgan Chase, Bank of America, and Citi have all at the same time barred people from buying Bitcoin with a credit card. Now, this is already basically impossible to do. They've just rolled out even more restrictions.
Yeah, they've mentioned several other card companies. Discover, was, I think Amex is on the list. Yeah.
So you think maybe this was coordinated or just a coincidence?
At this point, almost impossible to get cryptos on a credit card. And of course, they hate crypto. JP Morgan has made no secret about...
Jamie Dimon, you mean?
Well, he's JP Morgan. He makes the decisions. So the excuse they use is this: it's too volatile because you can make a purchase on your credit card, lose half of the, like, imagine if you bought 20 grand worth of Bitcoin back then and you're still making credit card payments on it. Now your asset is worth 8 grand, and how are you ever going to pay that back?
I think Bitcoin is still less volatile than Dell's debts.
Well, but you can't buy Dell stock, so maybe they would make that, you know, against the rules as well.
Somebody loaned Dell that $59 billion. That's all I'm saying. Despite reports to the contrary, India is not banning Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies. So I thought this too. I thought India was totally going to crack down on cryptocurrencies. One of their finance ministers came out and said, you know, cryptocurrency is not, you, like, the whole fiat to cryptocurrency thing is not going to be a thing. They're not banning it. They're just saying that they're not going to support exchanges, I guess.
If you read the fine details of his statement, he didn't say anything concrete. He condemned it in a way and said that it was bad and it was used by criminals and all that nonsense, but didn't actually say it was going to be banned. And then the Crypto Alliance of India, that's some acronym, they've come out and said, no, it's not going to be made illegal. Now, India is, just like every other government in the world, working on their own crypto thing. So it might have just been a way to scare people and be like, hey, the good one, the safe one's coming soon. Just wait.
Just wait, yeah.
The and safe government-controlled one.
Just like their identity database. It'll be totally safe.
Our new identity database is actually based on the blockchain. But doesn't that mean everybody has a copy of our identity database?
Don't worry about that. It's fine.
There's a story here from Axios about Bitcoin plummeting below $8,000. It's like, oh, that's the first time that's happened since November. Lots of speculation and, you know, why it matters, and no one cares.
Well, does that hurt you guys, though? Did it hurt a little bit?
I bought in at $1,500,
so I'm like,
it would have been nice to sell at $20,000, but the history of Bitcoin is rife with huge falls and huge gains. Yeah. When you say it's volatile, you're not talking about, you know, like $1,000 worth of volatile. You're talking about 75% swings volatility. And I don't think anybody can predict. Now, of course, because it got so high, all these big players are weighing in on it. Like you got Korea constantly talking about it. You got India talking about it. China never stops talking about it. So I don't think anybody can really predict. You know, there's predictions out there that it's going to go to zero. There's predictions out there that it's going to go to 100,000.
They got
to
increase the transaction volume and decrease the cost of a transaction.
Yeah.
And that's the things that are the most worrisome. So, I don't know. Facebook has decided to also ban cryptocurrency and ICO ads. Snuck one in there, huh?
9.5.
I gotta get another half. I want to go for an even 10 this episode, but maybe
you
should
do another long one.
Because 10 shots is not fatal, right?
Just, I guess that could be a shrug.
Oh, if you're drinking like tequila or you know something,
we'll say 9.
An 80 proof liquor, 10 shots. Like think about Krista doing 10 shots.
Oh yeah, that would
be I'd be done.
How long has it been? An hour. 10 shots in an hour would guaranteed kill Krista.
Yeah. I get like pretty happy and bubbly with 2 beers, so it doesn't take much.
Facebook is banning cryptocurrency and ICO ads. So they're sort of getting in on the action. I imagine that the ad volume is down right now, though, anyway.
Well, this is less about, and of course, this is not about Bitcoin. This is about ICO and binary options, which a binary option is basically, it's like, you know, gambling. Will it go below this price by this date or above this price by this date? And a lot of, I think that appeals more to the gambler than the investor. You could maybe say that about all crypto at this point. But yeah, those are not always the most ethical of companies that are doing those things.
Too many complaints. Facebook doesn't want to deal with it anymore. It's the same reason that well, it's not exactly the same reason, but it's kind of the same reason that both Microsoft and Steam have suspended trading with Bitcoin.
Yeah. So. Well, you have to hold those coins for some amount of time. And,
yeah.
You know, they were smart. They suspended it when it was, what, 15, 16?
Yeah.
Now it's 8. So...
Good move.
Gaben, as usual, laughing all the way to the bank.
Maybe if they could incorporate hats in Bitcoin, that would somehow...
Well, they did the cats with Ethereum.
Oh, yeah.
Cats and hats and cryptocurrencies. And
skins.
Yeah. Too bad. Oh,
loot boxes.
I didn't include the story. Did you see a CSGO gun skin sold? Guess how much it sold for?
$1,000.
$61,000.
Wow.
Yep.
Is it just the only one of its kind?
It was. You could only get the loot box by playing in some major tournament. And they added a logo from the guy who, like one of the super players.
I could have gone to college twice for that.
Well, yes. You better plant that bomb.
Rush B.
King of Kong, Billy Mitchell sees his Donkey Kong record stripped. So this is... We talked last week about the Atari drag racing game where it's like this game has been modified or emulated or something to get an impossible score. It's looking like there's evidence to suggest that the video of this guy achieving his score was concocted from MAME, which is an emulator. And he said that he got his score on a real, like, sort of regulation arcade cabinet.
Yeah, now, there's
quite the post about it, too.
There's a movie about this, which it is... It's one of those movies where... The entertainment value is that, you know, there's all this drama and you're watching it. And then every once in a while, you're like, wait, this is about Donkey Kong.
And it's, Donkey Kong.
And so this is one of the stars of the movie. So he's one of the more well-known of this community.
Sorry. Look at the picture of this guy, too.
Yeah. Well, everybody in this movie looks like that.
Yeah, that's like this little tie and stuff. Like, there's a gamer here.
So they go to these meetups. This is a great movie. You should check it out if you haven't. They go to these meetups, and it's just a bunch of, you know, people like us playing arcade cabinets, you know. And there's a, so when you get to the end of Donkey Kong, there's a point where the buffer overflows and the game just stops. Like, you know, you can't win at Donkey Kong. It just keeps going until you hit that score, and it runs out of memory. And so that's called a kill screen. And there's a point where there's a guy, and he's just like walking around the, it's like in a convention center. He's just walking around. It's like, hey guys, there's going to be a kill screen. There's a kill screen. Get ready. There's a kill screen. And he's just like, he's telling everybody, you know, like he's warning
people
them to be
like
ready.
People are like running.
People are gathering around.
Running to the arcade machine.
So you can imagine what that crowd is like. You know, I'm not going to say what.
That smell is like.
What a, I'm not going to say what sort of mental disabilities that might apply to these people. Perhaps you can guess. So someone who was a little more dedicated than he was actually studied his footage and found there are things that MAME will do that the actual cabinet won't on the video, like little tiny flickers in the pixels, and he found them.
Wow. You could tell by the pixels.
Exactly.
Seen some emulation in his day.
It was like a 2-page forum post. This guy like,
oh, they're real serious
evidence
about this.
Yeah.
Stuff. Yeah.
I was blown away.
Is nothing sacred?
It's amazing what people like get worked up about.
And there is no money in this.
Yeah,
like,
I can imagine.
You get nothing for this.
Do you guys know Volkswagen Dieselgate? This is where the Volkswagens had software on them that knew when the emissions regulators were studying the car to see about its emissions to know if it was in spec. Well, the software was smart and knew when it was being tested and would operate differently than it did in the field, and it would have higher emissions in the field. Well, Volkswagen has been fined about that and all sorts of other stuff. Well, the investigation for that has uncovered some stuff. Volkswagen has admitted to testing diesel fumes on monkeys.
Which is messed up. I like that, like a little bit of editorial journalism at the end.
Yeah, they locked these monkeys in airtight glass cages, but they let them watch cartoons while they were gassing them.
So they were just, you know, like kind of high.
The quote was literally, they like watching cartoons.
Now, if you're a student of history, the darkness of this is sort of compounded because, of course, we all know about, you know, the popular death camp, which was Auschwitz. Yeah. But there were some other death camps that weren't quite as popular. Now, Auschwitz used Zyklon B, a pesticide, but all the other camps used an airtight room with a diesel engine running into it. Actually, I think some of them were gasoline engines. But still. The correlation is disturbing, you might say.
This is the Volkswagen people have very rightly gone on record and say, we would like to distance ourselves from this study.
I bet you would. Also, to sort of compound the cars, they used Beetles to do this, and they all had the
modified software.
The cheat.
Yeah.
The cheat.
And so the study wouldn't have mattered anyway.
Now, the article doesn't explicitly state it, but you can find other sources that say that the results of this from the monkeys was not good. It was really bad. It turned out about like you could imagine having monkeys huff diesel fumes.
Well, it turns out there's been extensive studies in this already. I don't know why they didn't look that up. Because of the trial, the Nuremberg trial. Because a lot of people were like, you know what? Diesel CO2 wouldn't kill you like that. And so they actually did studies, and it can.
Wow, that's a grim study.
Yeah. They probably use monkeys, too.
Maybe rats. Hopefully rats, maybe.
People are all... people are dumb. People are why we can't have nice things as a society. Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, emoticons are showing up in court cases, and lawyers are all... This emoticon.
Now, you know what's funny is this was a Wall Street Journal article originally that I found, but it was paywalled, so I had to find another source. I don't know what site is this. SCPR.
It's not Shredder, I'll tell you that.
89.3 KPCC.
The Wall Street Journal used the exact same headline, except they used the little like I don't know guy.
So basically, what's happening is there are cases where like an employer sends an email to an employee. And it's at contention is what does the emoji mean? Does the employer mean the statement condescendingly? Did they mean it in a mean way? Did they mean it?
Did they really just mean an eggplant?
Yeah. What did they actually mean with the emoji? And so the meaning of that is showing up in court cases because The lawyers have to show, you know, intent or to show that somebody had a certain thing in mind when a certain series of events transpired. And lawyers are not really sure how to deal with that because there's not really a lot of historical precedent for it.
The examples they gave was that there was like a defamation case, but they used the colon P, you know, like sticking your tongue out. And the argument was because of the colon P, this was not slander because clearly this was in jest. You know, that means don't take this seriously.
Or yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
The other one was because a woman replied with kissy lips, she was inviting the sexual harassment rather than, you know, seeing it as sexual harassment.
Hmm.
Kissy lips.
So be careful how you use those emojis.
Which emoticon did she, I need to know this now. I didn't see that in the article.
The bright red lips.
You know, oh, she actually used an emoticon. Okay.
So he said something that might not have been appropriate.
Like an eggplant.
And he maybe, and he got back the bright red lips. So that in his mind, that was like, oh, continue.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I was thinking if it was the colon X, that can either mean I'm being quiet or it can mean kissy face.
Is that kissy face?
Yeah.
I always thought that was like cringing, like, you know. Mm.
No, it can mean like I'm quiet.
Look, see, look. This is what's happening in court. Nobody can agree.
No one knows what the emoticons mean.
How can we as a species have built a spacecraft to go to the moon and back safely be so bad at communication?
You just invited the moon landing deniers to comment.
I'll take whatever YouTube engagement I can get.
Let us know. Does colon X mean kissy face or does it mean silence or does it mean cringe?
I thought it meant like, you know, sort of like recoiling. I don't think, you know what we need? We need a government regulatory body
to figure out.
Define exactly what emoticons mean.
You're talking about the academy in France.
Yeah.
I refuse.
That's exactly what I was thinking. The emoji academy.
Descriptive grammar only.
Do you think, so in that case, Apple or whoever couldn't roll out new emojis until they had been defined and confirmed, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't be able to unilaterally change the graphics as they have been caught doing a few times with some of the universal emoji.
Like the water pistol controversy?
Yep.
All right.
There's a human Uber service in Japan because, gosh darn it, I love Japan. And
strange place.
People will wander around. If you've ever watched Arrested Development.
That's what I thought of when I read this article.
It's literally like the scene in Arrested Development. So you can pay people to wander around with an iPad on their head and you can experience something from somebody else's point of view.
Now, Bob from Arrested Development just wore a hat with a webcam, but you didn't actually. This is better. This has got like the iPad over their face.
Because they can see you and hear you.
Yeah.
Now, they do talk about, I don't know exactly how this works. They talk about how you can give instructions to the person to like where to look and stuff like that. So I think you've got a toggle between, hey, broadcast this to the room, or I just want to give instructions to my doppelganger.
You know? That was a hilarious reoccurring joke in Arrested Development because the guy would always say the wrong thing at the wrong time.
Yeah, that's, I mean, if you went to a meeting like that, could you ever stop looking at the guy wearing the iPad?
Like, what if the guy too, he's like in his pajamas, but he's like, I have to go to this meeting even though I have the flu.
And so if he has the flu and he has like explosive diarrhea, is he contracted to just, you know, power through the meeting?
Excuse me, guys.
And on top of that, when he is peeing, Does he have to very carefully not look at his region? Because it's like, you're not going to take that thing off, are you?
You could probably go in like privacy screen mode where and then you get the Monty Python intermission music. If you're in the UK, we've got more bad news for you. The new laws are starting to take effect, which means that Pornhub and other sites like that have to ask for your name and home address and mobile phone number, and you got to prove that you are of age to, you know, enjoy that kind of material, as it were, I guess.
I don't think this Metro got it completely right. I think what they're going with is like an OAuth type thing. So you've got, it's called something ID. So there's going to be a company that you register with this company and then you sort of, you know, log in through them and prove that you're old enough to see porn in various places.
Maybe
maybe
if there's not an open revolt after the Equifax leak, there will be an open revolt after this data leak.
If there's anything that can motivate people to action, it's porn.
There was a press release from Pornhub that said that the technology that they use means that they don't actually have any of the data So it would be impossible for them to leak the data themselves. But it doesn't really say if that data is stored elsewhere, like in the OAuth provider. It would be possible for the OAuth provider to not store that as well, but that's probably not happening.
It's Age ID. I think they say what they do is they use it for like a one-time, because the government ultimately says yes or no. So it takes your ID, clears it with the government database, and then they claim they delete it.
Well, that's not Orwellian at all.
The irony of this is that they're going to spend all this time and money making sure people who are watching the content are the proper age, but no one's going to bother to check and see if the girls who are in the videos are of age or if they've consented to any of this.
And none of it's going to
matter.
That's
too much work.
Because we're all going to be watching face swap porn eventually anyway. I mean, but yeah, people are going to pirate a lot more porn. Because nobody wants to go through all this nonsense and admit that they're watching porn. This is such a terrible idea.
I wonder if you would be able, like if somebody as a thought exercise ought to create a website where the material is sliced up into quadrants or something. And so like each individual piece is not actually pornographic, but then if you download all of the pieces and reassemble it, it is pornographic. Like maybe that'll be a thing.
Like the slider puzzle.
Yeah.
You know, I think porn is more of an impulse click. I don't think that you do a lot of planning. There's not a lot of premeditated porn watching. You know, it's like, ooh, as soon as this, I get this reassembled, going to be some good porn watching then.
I guess that's true of the modern age, but there was definitely a lot of planning involved through the 70s and 80s.
Back in my day, we planned for a week before we watched porn.
A lot of careful, you know, it was an operation. I mean, Ocean's 11 would be proud.
It was the forbidden room in Blockbuster.
Well, think about the people who had like the 8mm projectors. You gotta wait till it gets dark.
Wait till it gets dark at a certain time of day, and then you gotta, you know, there's just details. There's just so much planning involved.
Yeah,
not unlike episodes of this show,
which is always very carefully planned out.
No. Oh, it's just so terrible. All right, thank you for watching. If you're listening to this in podcast form, it's from the patrons, so thank them.
I think that our final I don't know counter was around 9.
I'm pretty sure it got double digits.
Yeah. I think it was like 10 or 11. Maybe more.
I would make our editor suffer and make him count through all of it.
No, I think we should. I think we need that.
We need the little ding every time.
Yeah.
It's hard to count because I do have like lots of different ways of saying it. So a little problematic in that regard because I can sneak one through sometimes. But
well, you might sneak one past him, but you won't sneak one past the YouTube comments.
Hey, YouTube engagement drives the analytics higher.
There's someone,
I'll take what I can get.
On some of our videos, he will just comment engagement. And I'm like, bless you, sir.
Yeah, here's to you.
We're going to have a pod in your name.
I'm going to look up his name because I don't remember. But thank you for your comment.
See you next week.
Bye.